here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, and I just ate some pizza, so I'm lying on my couch on Skype here with you. I'm feeling a little bloated.
Mmm. Wheat pizza, huh?
Yep.
Is it the one with the hot dog in the crust?
That would be awesome.
Have you seen that?
No.
Pizza Hut has the hot dog in the crust. B and I had it during Hell in the Cell. It was the highlight of the pay-per-view.
I must try it. But anyways, yeah, so I'm feeling a little flat, fat, and bloated, but not as bloated as I used to feel, you know, now that my balls are no longer expanding.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. You just got rid of them again, did you?
Anywho. It's welcome to Movember, everybody. With me.
Oh, yes. This isn't a video podcast, so they can't see my my mustache.
They can't see your mustache. No?
No.
My mom was complaining.
I know. It was great. A little bit of rug burn there for her.
All right. So basically on Thursday night, I had to leave early after our 2 hours of 2 minute show.
And we only could do a 2 hour show.
We only did a 2 hour show because I had to go. And you sent me a text today. You said my schedule's cleared up, and I got some ideas further, you know, kind of related to what we were talking about. And we never got into the news conference, or the conference they had on the business call, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
So we figured we'd do that and just bullshit our way through a little bit here on Skype and put up some more We Talk Wrestling, because let's face it, it is wrestling's most entertaining podcast.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes, my schedule cleared up, and you sent me a text message. Congratulations, your herpes cleared up.
Yeah, well, and your mom's haven't, though. So I'm going to visit her again for another week.
You know where she just was? China.
That would do it.
10 nights in China.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, China does have a bigger dick than I do.
That's true.
Yeah.
I assume.
All right.
But let's jump right in, because I'd like to ask you, do you think that China has a bigger dick than 52% of the households in the United States of America?
Yeah, I saw that video, unfortunately. It's a bigger dick than 99.9%.
Yes, well, this is true. But
I mean, that's why it's even bigger than me, because I'm bigger than 99.8%.
You mean waist size?
That wasn't funny.
No.
Anyways,
I'm transitioning here into 52% of the homes in the United States of America, according to WWE from their conference call, thanks to a detailed survey of over 9,000 households, they have determined 52% of U.S. households have World Wrestling Entertainment fans. That equates to 57 million United States of America wrestling, not even wrestling fans, WWE fans, according to research.
Okay, I'll put it this way. I would say that is a subtle lie, because I don't think that's full-out bullshit. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I'd say 52% or 57 million are probably the amount of people who are aware of what the WWE is.
Oh, well, then let me bullshit you further. Okay. Here's a breakdown.
Okay.
20 million of those 57 million are known as lapsed fans.
Huh.
Fans who, you know, watched it at one point. The people that you had mentioned, you know.
That's more like 52 million of them.
Someone who knows who, say, George the Animal Steel is, let's say.
Yeah.
Or Bruce the Barber Beefcake, let's say. Now, so that's 20 million of that 57 million, okay? 3 million of those people are what they call fan parents.
Mm.
So parents of children who watch who also watch along and consider themselves fans.
Okay.
Three million. 9 million are light casual fans.
Mm-hmm. Was this, by the way, all done in Connecticut, this 9,000?
Let's see here. I don't believe it says. It doesn't say.
Yeah, they need to get more like about 50,000 people across the entire country to get a real, I'm thinking, breakdown of all this. Because you're right, the bullshit's starting to pile up.
Yeah, 15 million are casual fans. So 9 million light casual, 15 million casual. No definitions of any of these, by the way. 15 million
I can tell you probably, I would make a guess that they're saying that light casual are ones who will watch every now and then. Casual are ones who will watch every now and then and might buy the occasional WrestleMania.
That's true, yes. Now, 10 million. Now, consider this. Yeah, 10 million people in the United States are passionate fans.
Okay. What do we have watching Raw? About 4 million?
About 4 million, yeah.
Okay. And you got, what, about another, say, million who don't watch that, who watch SmackDown, let's just say.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? So that's 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's wholly inconceivable that there's 5 million people who follow the product every single week by reading a report on what happened on Raw but no longer watch it regularly. Does that count?
I don't. Listen, none of these are defined. I guess, oh, I'm sorry.
Listen to shows like us or... Because we're more entertaining than Raw.
I'd like to correct my... I stand corrected here. I apologize because this skews the whole bullshit meter. So let's just do this. The 10 million, 15 million, 9 million, 8 as I went through there. Those are households. The number of fans that they have got, 26 million are lapsed fans, 8 million are fan parents, 17 million light casual fans, 33 million casual fans, 25 million passionate fans, for a total of 108 million WWE fans in the United States of America. Oh,
now I can't defend that. Now they just look like assholes.
Now they just look like retards. Yes, it's done by.
I still think it's possible that 108 million people in the United States. I mean, not everybody's going to be aware of what the WWE is, but it's possible 50%. I don't know how many people live there. What, about 300 million? Are they about 300?
What says that the company that did this here is EMR. Yeah, okay. Eugene Market Research. So, yes, they are retards.
Yeah. How many people live in the United States? Is it about 300 million?
I believe it's closer to 400 million.
Yeah, I'd say about one in four, 25% are aware of what the WWE is. So, that...
Oh, no, but these... saying that they would not only that they consider themselves a fan of some sort, one in four.
Yeah. Well, since that's the case, I'm really looking forward to the 35 million buys for this year's WrestleMania.
Well, no, you see, but that's the thing, is that for every buy, that house has 112 people over at it to watch the show.
Oh.
Parties.
Yeah.
WrestleMania. Already see, so just think how many people were over for this past Hell in the Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, they're literally hanging from the rafters.
So again, we say they look like assholes, but that's really what it comes down to. When they put this out on their business call, and they list this as a fact to people. Yeah. It means A, think that they can bullshit people.
Did you know?
Or B, well, yeah, but I mean, that's on TV. This is their investors.
I know, but this might too. This will become a did you know, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it will, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will.
But see, here's the thing to me, and let's just base, you're going the one way with it, because you can take this two ways. You can go with the, yeah, they think they can bullshit anybody. They think they're Hulk Hogan and Bubba the Love Sponge. They think they're invincible. But
that shit's still going on, by the way. I'm still not convinced, considering the next step here, but another lawsuit with Gawker.
This now. Let's just say this is true. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just say this is true. They are a horrible business.
Yeah.
Like, they're putting this out there saying, we've got 25 million passionate fans, and 150 of them bought our last, 150,000 of them bought our last pay-per-view.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, fuck are you, like,
even if that would literally have to be, like, to get a million buys, if you have 25 million, you have 25 people in a household that they're saying that you have the parties like you were talking about. So when you prorate that to 150,000, you're right. We would be literally looking at over 100 people per household that they would be saying that won't miss this because they're passionate fans. And, yeah, I don't think that it was you and B, and who were the other 110 people?
Well, my dog was here.
Yeah. I tell you what, giving it away for free, if I told people it's going to be on a big big TV and I'm giving away for free the wrestling pay-per-view every single month and I'm going to offer you free pizza and beer, but you have to stay for the full 3 hours, I still don't think I can get 110 people over monthly.
No. Oh, God, no. God, no. And it's, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you think about, like, in the theater. Here, I mean, I guess it's not free, but I mean, you don't pack the theaters like they used to anymore.
No.
I mean, it was a time 10 years ago, and they still would up here.
Well,
but,
not. I would say you generally it was 50% full, which is a pretty good house.
Okay,
yeah,
that's yeah.
Yeah, WrestleMania would be pretty much sold out, and everything else, Royal Rumble would be sold out, and most other things would be, you know, about 50%.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just that's kind of the takeaway for me. Is the first one is like, yeah, bullshit. And the second one is like, okay, let's – because they're using this as potential – the whole reason this is coming out, I'm sure, is potential because they're trying to market the network.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Cable Company, look at all the fans we have. These are all potential customers that will purchase because the network apparently is going HBO. It's basically classics on demand without you getting to pick on demand. It's just a pay subscription, like the movie channel,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the rollout for the network with no, obviously, date announced.
No.
For
we'll
it,
see if they can even get to that level. But that's certainly not their original vision, nor as profitable as their original vision. Though I'm certain it's still more profitable than doing nothing if they can pull it off. I don't know what it means for Legends House. I don't know what it means for, all the shows that we were voting on the names of.
I think the Legends House, and I mean, I don't know about this, like, Divas on a Bus thing, because none of the fucking Divas are around anymore.
No, exactly.
So, I mean, it's like, watch Beth Phoenix and Kelly and Melina on a bus. It's like, oh, wow. I remember them. But, no, I mean...
Do you think that somebody helps them sing Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round?
Well, Kelly is... round?
Well, she goes round and round.
Yeah, all around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Around the world.
The Kelly on the bus goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Kelly on the bus goes up and down, but mostly down. So, yeah. That's my version of that. But...
Hold on.
I don't know.
I haven't stopped laughing yet. Hold on.
Okay, hold on.
Give me another few seconds.
I was sipping a beer.
You have a beer. Still giggling over here. Fucking great song.
That should be our new theme song.
That's awesome. If any of you who are listening, Ajami, I'm speaking to you. If any of you listening are in a band and want to record a version of that, send it to us to be our new theme song. We will use it.
Yes, absolutely. I would prefer either punk rock cover or hardcore gangster rap.
Oh, fuck. All right. No, you're right. We're not going to see that show, though.
We'll see Legends House, though, obviously. And, yeah. And you know, they will do that. But, I mean, when you look at whatever let's say you pay $10 a month for this WWE network, there will be a certain number of people. But, I mean,
Hold on one second. I just started laughing again. I was thinking about it again.
Okay. I started laughing again. Is it part of it? But mostly down.
Yeah, that's the part that really got me. Jesus Christ. All right, let's go.
All right. I think you'll get some people. But again, you look at how Classics on Demand started.
Yeah.
With a bang. I mean, I don't know if you consider it a bang, but I mean, it's declined. As they've gone. Now, they did a lot of push on it when it first came out as well. We'd see the classic wrestling clip of the week on Raw or whatever with, I think it was Lawler and Henning. I remember seeing. And they would do that and then watch this on Classics on Demand and such. So, I mean, there's a market out there for it, no doubt. But it'll go as wrestling goes. When wrestling's hot, a lot of people will buy this network. When wrestling's not, there'll be less people buying it. So it still will fluctuate, which is why this is less profitable than the original vision, where they just piggybacked up on the sports tier package. Where exactly. You want the NFL network, you get the WWF network with it, right?
15 cents for every home you're in. You hope to get in, you hope to per month, and you hope to get in, like 100 million homes or whatever, and then
they could get in at least 57 million homes.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the original plan for them, and that would have been extremely profitable.
Yeah. I don't know what the cut is with these things, like what kind of cut. Like if it was say $10 a month to get the WWF network, if WWE got five and the cable company got five, so let's just say that, and let's just say you got 57 million homes. You got, it'd be $60 or 60, yeah, $60 a subscription a year that they would get from each person, right?
Now, are you familiar? I do know that there's a cable network here in Canada, the Fight Network.
There is.
Yeah, and they are currently going to expand right now into the States. Did you hear that?
Yeah, just online, though.
It is just online. Okay. I was just wondering if they were able to piggyback in off those other tiers where, in a way that the WWE hadn't, if that would have been interesting to me. But it is just going to be online. Okay.
They're just going to stream, yeah. You could sign up online or whatnot, yeah. So, and I mean, I don't know if you're streaming the Fight Network. Quite frankly, the Fight Network kind of sucks.
Well, yeah, I love how the press release says something like they're going to be taking their very successful business model into the States. And I thought, really? Well, when are they going to have the successful business model first? Because they barely exist. Nobody watches them. It's not very good.
I get the Fight Network, but to me it's just...
When's the last time you watched it?
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, I tape stuff or PVR stuff all the time on it and we'll watch. I mean, they've got a... actually, what I did watch, and this was very interesting because I thought maybe if it starts to go, if Sin Cara doesn't work out, then I watched Shocker. I watched a CMLL with English commentary show, and the main event was Shocker against Alberto Del Rio, only he was with Dos Caras Jr.
Yeah, still in the mask.
Under the mask.
Yeah.
And he worked great under the mask, and I thought, that's a total other avenue of Del Rio's career that he can, he could go to.
Did he work very different style, or?
No, I knew immediately it was Alberto Del Rio, and could tell, and he was working, basically, he worked, he did some more flippity-doos, because it was Lucha, but... I mean, no, it was just—it's just a look, I guess, is the thing, and he could so he could get away with working because not everybody can work with a mask on.
No, no.
As well, So he'd have that.
Lord Tensai, for instance, can't work with a mask on.
No, this is true.
Yes.
Or paint on.
Yeah, obviously.
But I look at the Fight Network. I mean, I'd go there every once in a while, like, say, if it's, you know, just there's nothing else on, I'll go, oh, I wonder what's on the Fight Network, and I check it. It's always, like, judo or boxing, and it's like, eh, I don't give a fuck. I mean, even their, like, their MMA stuff is no-name guys, so I never really watch it. And the few wrestling shows that they have, you know, they get, I'm just trying to think, they used to have a lot more. The Ring of Honor stuff that they have is a lot less sparing now. Mm-hmm. They used to have Ring of Honor on a lot more. And this is stuff like Danielson against
Lance. Yeah, this is
Lance
early Stone. Stuff. Yeah.
Early stuff, yeah. But it was still there. They used to do that when they had that, Rikishi was booking that Italy promotion, that NWE or U or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They had that. They had Deep South Wrestling on at a time. They had Memphis Classics on.
Wrestling at the Chase.
Yeah, they had Wrestling at the Chase. But they didn't have a lot of episodes of Wrestling for the Chase. It was only a few months went by, and they went,
but I do know that they redid the commentary, though, didn't they?
No, not Wrestling at the Chase. No, they did. They had another show where they did I don't even think it was on the Fight Network, for fuck's sakes. It was on some other Bite TV or something where they did like a Bruiser Brody highlight deal. And they would dub over the commentary and such. But, no, it was, it wasn't long until it was like, oh, that's Ric Flair against Pat O'Connor. I've seen this one, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a lot more prevalent too, and a lot more, it might still be, but I remember seeing like the Memphis Classic Wrestling like on the schedule a lot more to know to PVR it. Then I said, literally every time I go, it's like judo, boxing, or like some MMA thing I don't care about from like, you know, Japan or something.
Yeah, no, they don't have current content. They don't have current wrestling really that they're able to keep up with. So I mean, it's very difficult now. But they did.
That was okay. Like, it was okay that they did. I actually enjoyed the fact that they didn't have current
stuff.
Well, I
tell you the truth, the thing is, yeah, it's okay to have some of that, but you've got to have a both. You can't just have the old stuff, I don't think. Well, that's perhaps I'm wrong on that, but I think you can't unless you have an extensive library or the stars. Now, they did do a reality show, a training show, and I'm not talking World of Hurt. They did another one before that that was on there over in Eastern Canada that was particularly awful. They're always seem to be trying things like that. Now, I want to get back, though, to basically I'm going to say, yeah, I mean, people can check it out, but I don't think anybody's going to find anything on there that's going to blow them away. But I want to get back to the WWE and their network here. What are we talking about? You say maybe it's going to be $10 a month. You're just speculating?
Well, I'm just...
You're just throwing a number out.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know how much is HBO as a service.
Well, see, I don't know because we get...
HBO Canada is different.
Well, HBO Canada is along with Movie Central.
Yeah.
So, you pay whatever you pay, $15 or $10 a month. I don't even know what it is. Yeah. Here, let me see. I think I might have my cable bill somewhere, down here. There you go. Well, it'd probably be mine still, but let's see here. $15 for what they call Movie 4 Pack.
Okay.
I also pay $3 a month for individual channel, Fight Network.
Money well spent.
And $3 for ESPN Classic.
Well, there you go.
Which really all I watch on ESPN Classic is Rocky IV and the AWA Classic stuff that's on.
There you go. But, okay, so, I mean, $10
or,
a month. What's that?
I have to tell you, I did on the ESPN Classics once watch... it was a CFL, Canadian Football League, classic football game from 1995. It was the Calgary Stampeders against the Shreveport Pirates when they expanded to the United States, Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was a kickoff, and running down to block with Shreveport was John Heidenreich. And running up to tackle the kicker was Dwayne Johnson.
Really? So it was a preseason game.
It was, yes, yes. So it was actually just the charity game where the third strings. Oh, but I don't even know. No, it was a, I don't even know what it was. But they were the specialty team blockers, basically. Heidenreich and The Rock on the same field.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. All right. but getting back to this thing. So, I mean, I don't know. Classics on Demand, you're paying per match, per whatever. Which is just a lot to ask of people, considering they can generally get their content free on YouTube.
I don't know that you are anymore. I think you just pay. I think the Classics on Demand is like a Netflix or you know, where you pay a monthly subscription fee, but you get to pick and choose what you want to watch.
Oh, okay.
You can watch. So you just get to pick it when you want, you know, on demand kind of thing. But you pay a flat fee if you watch everything or you watch nothing.
Okay, so. Okay. But they don't have an awful lot of content on there, especially fresh content a month is my understanding.
Well, no, I mean, I can't remember the last time they had one of those celebrity or one of those round tables. I think it was on the celebrities when they had DDP as part of it. And that's been, God, months.
Yeah, a long time. I just watched the round tables a couple of nights ago that they did on Giants, by the way. That was great.
Oh, I watched, I'll go back and watch some of those. I watched the tag team one.
Yeah.
Which was tremendous.
Tremendous.
With Pat Patterson and Nick Bockwinkel on there, so.
Anyway, so I mean, my point being, so I'm not sure how many people they're going to get at $10 a month or whatever to pay for this. I mean, I'm sure it'll be profitable for them. They don't have to get that many. I mean, it'll be extra income. But while we're
eventually, if it sticks around, it will be profitable. I mean, you look at these startup costs, the $30 million that they're sinking in, and this and that to get this going. I mean, the startup costs are astronomical, and if you're getting, as I said, let's just throw $10 a month out there,
okay.
And let's say you get $60, dollars a month, you know, out of it per person, you know, you could get, you know, and you got, so what do you need there? You need, you know, $60 a month. You need a million subscribers to make back your 60 million, and they're probably going to sink about 200 million into this.
Okay. So I was gonna presume, let's say a minimum, a baseline to me would probably be $800,000 a month of revenue generated. I was thinking
$800,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take, as I said, if you take, so what's 80 divided by 5 is what? 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking.
I was just thinking to myself, if you're looking at you know, 100,000 people who are going to buy a pay-per-view, 80,000 people paying for this is probably I think about right, at least at start.
We're saying 80,000, but then you got to look at the WWE is getting half of that $10.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So then they need to get like. I mean,
which
so
would give them about, let's say, about $5 million extra revenue a year.
Right, but again, $5 million a year in extra revenue, taking into effect that they're sinking $120 million into this.
I was just thinking to myself, they're probably going to spend $5 million a year just suing people to keep their content from being free on the internet, the exact same content.
Yeah, well, and
that's going to be a constant cost, you know, on your YouTubes, your Daily Motions, and the other things, every year, the legal battles to keep all your content from being available to people, you know, for free, especially in this day and age when they're used to it and they don't even think of it as stealing. You know, I mean, last time you went on YouTube, watched our Legends Roundtable, and thought, fuck, I'm stealing.
Oh, exactly. Yesterday, but still. And I smiled about it.
But still. But still. So that's the thing. I mean, every single year, I mean, it's going to – I mean, I would think just keeping your content off the internet and the legal fees from that and you know,
again,
would probably take away any profits. I wasn't even thinking about the startup costs and all that bullshit.
If they care about that. I mean, I know they care
Well, right
about
now
it,
they have made a push to take a lot of their content off YouTube. They have made a push recently for this type of thing. So
– Well, they've been doing it, but I mean –
But and as they have a network, I think they would have to do it more.
There's the torrent stuff. There's the lesser known ones. I mean, it's until it's kind of I mean, it's a constant battle, and one that you just... But at the end of the
day... I know
it's
an expensive battle every year for the UFC, and the UFC's losing it. But they're still they're still fighting it, though.
Oh, sure, but they're also way more profitable, right? So,
well, yeah, I know, but that's kind of my point.
So, no, I know, but I'm looking at the fact that if 100,000 people... I mean, right now we're saying, you know, 100 and, let's say, 10,000 people are going to buy... Households, really, are going to buy a paper.
Well, I don't currently have my internet on, even though I'm on Skype, because we had a few technical issues right beforehand. So I didn't want to do anything extra to start it. But just go onto YouTube for me. Let's just do a little experiment. Go onto YouTube.
Okay.
And type in Ryback Hell in the Cell. Let's just see how many views you pull up for that match.
For the match itself.
Just for the match itself. Just for the 20 minutes or whatever that is that spectacle of the entrance, the post-match and all that bullshit. Let's just see. You know, I just am trying to get an idea.
And I even added 2012 on the on the back of that.
Yeah.
Championship match. Well, this is only 5 minutes long.
That's not the full thing, no.
Here I got part one of two, which has 64,000 views.
Okay.
The highlights has 145,000 views. The ending, which... just says results, highlights, ending. I don't know. And again, without clicking on these things, I don't. Okay, well, here's a full one that looks 26 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah, I would include the video, the entrance, and all that shit.
Yeah. It has. Oh, wait a minute. This is just preview. Okay. Never mind. Whatever. It's hard to tell with some of these deals, but I mean, they go. They're in your. Five figures.
Okay, so I mean, but so that just says to me right there. Let's just say there's 400,000.
Well, what I'm going to do now, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to change Ryback Hell in the Cell 2012 to Ryback HITC.
I think other thing you could do is you could just make that video 20 minutes or longer, because the match. With the beginning and the ending and all that stuff, did come out to over 20 minutes. I know.
Oh, I see. Filters.
Yeah, and filters. You could just do that, just to see if we can pull up the match. But the point of this being that if this is a pay-per-view that does 100,000 buys, there was a lot more interest in that. But people won't pay for it because they know the content is going to be available to them to see in another form.
Well, full match 1 week ago, 5,000 views.
That's not very many.
And then there's no, I don't see any other ones actually going on here for that HITC. But, I mean, it's just one of those things that I don't think that it, honestly, I don't think it really is going to, you know, this online thing is here and it's, but they're still going to get the same number, I think, of subscribers as say, pay-per-view buys, I think would be. You know, a little bit less, I think,
network. How about that, though? I mean, how about if we're saying, okay, you're doing $100,000 or 100,000 buys for a pay-per-view right now for a B show, all of a sudden you drop down to 80,000 because 20,000 people that were previously buying are saying, instead I'm going to spend $10 a month instead of $30 a month on this product because I get more content, but I don't feel like I should buy for both.
Well, and part of it is do you put those? I mean, they were wishy-washy about George Barrios was wishy-washy on are the pay-per-views going to be on the network?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and couldn't really.
And they should be on delay. But even then, if they are or aren't, I think some people are going to go, okay, that's my money I'm spending towards wrestling this month. I'm going to spend $10 on that, get more content, and then I don't feel like I have to pay for the pay-per-view because I got lots of shit to watch. Like, well, I'm just saying my point is, though, is every action has an equal and opposite reaction. There's a lot of things that this will give a positive to them for, but it'll pull some away. It has to.
Well, again, but I think that right now has to do with the overall lack of, popularity of the product.
Sure.
I said, when wrestling is popular, you'll see them people do both, right? But
I think when you're already getting 5 hours worth of TV and several hours of it, 2 to 3 main events for free, every single month, 6 hours if you include the main events and the television show, the main event on yeah. Ion, right? I mean, if you look at that, it's like, why the fuck am I going to pay for more? Why?
Well, no.
I got so much wrestling. I didn't watch Impact this week. I read a little bit of the spoilers, and that's it. I saw the Hell in the Cell. I saw segments of Raw. I have SmackDown on my TV. I haven't watched it yet. As we come up to Saturday night here. Why? Because it's already difficult to watch 5-6 hours. Who the fuck? And you know what? And if I am going to watch something, I'm going to be very specific about what I want to watch. I'm going to put in a DVD, or I'm going to look for that specific thing on YouTube. I just don't feel like there isn't that demand for their product.
No, but I mean, whatever they put on the network, I have a feeling I would PVR the fuck out of it. Like,
if it's Legends network, House, but, yes.
Well, and Raw and
hey, what's going to be
Raw
the song for Legends House?
I don't know.
I don't care.
Don't go messing with a country boy. Hillbilly Jim's on it.
Hey, there you go. More importantly, what's going to be the song for the Divas on a Bus?
The Divas on the Bus, yes. Well, it's just the Kelly Kelly on the Bus, really. Because the Kelly Kelly on the Bus, the Kelly Kelly on the Bus goes up and down, up and down, up and down. The Kelly Kelly on the Bus goes up and down, but mostly down.
It'll be William Shatner will perform it in spoken word.
Booyaka, booyaka.
I'm just a sexy boy.
Boy.
Fuck.
Oh, that never gets old watching that.
No, that for instance, I'll watch on YouTube a million times instead of going and watching this network. It's, what else was in this report, though?
Well, you mean in which report? Just in their filing, their quarterly filing? Because, outside of that.
Outside of that, what else was in the call and the. Besides the, okay, I just wanted to get back to this because you're talking about how they're shitty businessmen. I'm talking about how, if you go too carny and you fall too much full of bullshit, people are just going to want to walk away and not invest in you. And that begins to happen. I just think every single time that you tell a lie to your investors or to people that follow the product heavily and it's so obvious and you look so stupid, that's exactly it. You look stupid. People just don't want to invest their money in people who look stupid. They don't want to feel like they're being fucked with for no reason. And how dumb do you think I am type deal? And they're just going to
tell
walk
me
away.
A lie. Say that you won't go.
but no, I just think it has a ripple effect. This type of thing. I just think that, when you come across poorly in the business world, and when Linda loses the election again, that's the little type of thing that actually makes it impossible for her to win.
Well, but you look at, you said it has a ripple effect. So, and then you also asked what else was in the report and the filings. And that brings me to rip them. No Holds Barred made $300,000 in its DVD release. So
that's not very good.
Well,
I guess it's $300,000 more than they had.
And that was like revenue, right? So, well, but so who knows what the cost of printing those DVDs? Probably pretty
$1.21
for Blu-rays or whatever. Pretty light. So because it was something they already had from a long time. So. I mean that'll be all right, but the other thing is their balance sheet is still was still good. We talked year and a half ago about how Vince had said that they were going to start spending.
Yes.
Well, they still have no long term debt, and they have $150 million in investments and cash on hand.
That's pretty.
So, I mean they still have that there. So. It's they pushed the Brawlin' Buddies, saying that it's going to be one of the hottest toys of the holiday season.
Well, that's bullshit.
Well, it's of course it's a call.
Yeah. Did I ever mention that Brawlin' Buddies? That's my nickname for me and your mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh wait, I said brawling. I meant bawling.
Ballin'. straight up. Fall.
Really?
As opposed to Kelly Kelly, who goes straight down.
Straight down, falling.
Mostly down. But, oh, Vince said that the ratings
Kelly
were
on the balls
good.
Goes down and down.
Down and down. Yes, they,
well, she comes up for air.
Who's air?
And who'd he ever beat?
Who'd he ever beat?
Who did air ever beat?
In the air. Air.
He probably beat me. Everybody did.
That's true. That's true. Sean Stasiak.
Was a jobber.
Yeah, I watched his
Kelly
match.
Kelly, by the way, also a jobber.
Yes.
Different type of job.
Yeah, well, she just, and she blows spots. So. Not my liver spots. Not my dog spots. But my spots.
Kelly on the bus blows spots and spots. And whose spot?
Not my liver spot. Not my dog spot.
And what, and does spot have anything in common with air?
Spot and air. I can only eat the ding dongs.
Oh, fuck. All right.
I'm trying to think of what else came in. Vince said ratings were good.
He's an asshole.
Yes. Interesting part was that television revenue was even.
But they've added shows.
They've added show. Well, the Ion show wouldn't show on this quarter, so there could be up, but. International, a decline in international licensing and distribution of some of the television shows or revenue declines in those offset the third hour, which apparently isn't really that like we had talked about how if they pay, you know, whatever, $100,000 a week for 2 hours, that then they must be paying $150,000. You know, we did that sort of equal equation. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. If they're doing 100, they might be doing 120 or getting, you know,
it's not equal. It's not equal.
It's not equal. They're getting that law of diminishing returns.
When you think of the negatives of what it causes of people wanting to watch the product less, especially in the third hour. And it just, you know, makes it more difficult to book. It makes it more difficult for the I think it creates less momentum going to pay-per-views. When you look at all the negatives, 3 hours is too damn long.
It's too damn long. But Vince was also very excited about their mobile app.
Mm-hmm.
He did not mention, however, the free mobile app.
What do you mean?
No money there. No money. No money.
Oh.
Like, it's the same as when they were all on Twitter. No money comes from this.
Hey, how's Tout doing for everybody?
Oh, did you not see Arnold Schwarzenegger on Tout?
Nope.
Neither did I. Yeah. You know, Tout, Tout was awesome because they, no, it's not.
Really cut into that Twitter, didn't it?
No, fuck. I mean, like, yeah, but I'm just trying to think of if there's anything else that they went through on this call. It's pretty. I mean, it was pretty. They said he was all excited about the network. You know, there's some expenses were up because of the network, but at the same time. You know, revenues were down. There wasn't that other video game like last time they had that All Stars video game.
Yeah, which didn't sell well, but nevertheless, just having a license and an extra game coming out gave you money.
It was just that's what it was really. It was more money. So, yeah.
So again, as we look at this, what is the feeling? Is that the company is going in the right direction? Treading water or going down?
It's treading water.
So they're not much like, they're not like Kelly Kelly.
No. The thing is with it is that they're, all of the income that they're making is going to the network. So they make money in the network, and there's network expenses, and they just, they offset.
Yeah.
So it's basically the new XFL, the new restaurant, the new WBF. It's right now, that's what it is that they're making money, but it's...
But is there a sense, though, that their revenue streams are going down or not? They're treading water.
Well, I mean, a lot of the revenue streams are going down. I mean, again, DVD, you know, DVDs went down.
DVDs will go down because people are no longer be getting their... People don't go to DVDs anymore for, you know, Blockbuster's gone.
Pay-per-views were up 13% year over year in the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Live events were up 6%.
Is that because SummerSlam was up due to Brock, or...?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, that would be the case. But I mean, but even again, all the other shows are still up. They haven't had a show do less. So I mean, even the ones the B shows are still getting up. But when we look at, I'm just looking at basically what he pushed were things that are coming out in the future, like the Brawling Buddies, the Scooby-Doo Goes to WrestleMania, the Miz's new thing with the ABC Family Channel where he's going to do that movie.
For
the
next fucking year. For 14 fucking months from now.
You know, but he's pushing all that stuff. The Rolling Stone, they've renewed their National Guard sponsorship. That's basically it. Now, licensing was down.
What about, you know, did he have a bullshit line like he had right about this time last year? Right about this time the year before that, and right about the time the year before that, where he said he's just got a great angle, which is about to take off.
No, he didn't. He didn't talk about creative at all. Really, it was all this was just the thing. And the creative part usually happened. That's August that he does that. That's that big thing in August there, and that's when he talks about the creative. But home video revenue was down 23%.
Despite No Holds Barred.
No. A lot of unsold stuff. They've shelved the that they were doing that, whatever it was, $5 or $10 Superstar DVD.
Yeah.
Thing that's done. You know, e-commerce sales were down. You know, digital revenue did well because of the YouTube channel. Like, when I say well, I mean it stayed the same. That's about it. I mean, everything. It's basically they're expecting modest growth, but it'll be offset by the cost of the network.
Yeah,
and that's basically.
And I doubt they'll even have modest growth. Certainly not with the ratings going down.
Expecting 2012 results will be below the 2011 results due to the money spent to launch the network. Build the headquarters, you know, develop all the stuff, start it, yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You know what? I'm not whatever. Good for them. They have to do something. Their revenue's going to go down. Otherwise, they have to find a new revenue stream going forward. Hopefully, they can pull it off. Because we're going to stay positive. Because this is going to be the positive show part two. This is the follow-up to the positive show with more positivity, right?
Positively.
There we go. So, speaking of that, now that we're done this shit, you were thinking about some of the stuff we said, and you had some more solutions you wanted to throw out to some things. So, go for it. Let me hear it.
Well, I mean, we talked in the last show about, you know, fire the writers, right? I mean, or reduce the creative. We talked about developmental. We talked about hiring more veterans, you know, and the TNA, in the case of TNA, to use more of their homegrown guys with TNA.
Mm-hmm. And to just have an editor who can fix the continuity and the stupidity problems.
So important. But, I mean, yeah, it's...
I understand that editor. I would mind if that editor took 45 minutes just to get warmed up.
Just to get warmed up. Yeah, you'd have to pay him in advance, though. but, I mean... there's just some other stuff. I mean, to reiterate a couple of things that we talked about previously that I think just to kind of, again, we don't have to go into a lot of detail, but, I mean, a reformat of Raw or SmackDown.
Uh-huh. Like, you know, Freaks TV Channel E gave us?
Yeah.
By the way, let's thank him for that new logo. You guys went on the website and you thought there was a wicked new logo on there. That's his work. And you should definitely check out his blog as well, Freaks TV. You know, wicked logo. Sure. We really appreciate that.
Yes. No, thank you very much. That is good. But I said we talked about that sort of reformatting, having a different presentation to it. I mean, the other thing is undercard feuds.
Mm-hmm.
We talked more developmental. We were saying that the people need to develop new stars. But really what we need to have is more sort of in-depth mid-card feuds. Because
But in order to do that, you mean you have to pull back a little bit more. I agree with you. But in order to have more in-depth feuds, you have to have actions have stronger consequences. So if somebody attacks somebody, that person that he attacked and he works his leg, that person he attacks can't come back the next day and not sell it. I mean, CM Punk pissed me off to no end that he wasn't properly selling the bump he took on the top of the cage the night before. I mean, he should have been wheeled out there, barely able to walk, you know?
No, I don't understand why.
Huh?
Why?
Why should he be selling it?
Yeah, like more. I mean, I look at that. I look at getting slammed on the top of a fence is not hurting as much as being shell-shocked into canvas.
Okay, in reality, maybe. But in the world of wrestling that they were trying to push, it should have hurt more, right?
I just didn't have a problem.
I mean, it's like we talk about when we see Sandow attack Clay, and Clay's back out dancing the next week in his knee, right? It's all these little things. You can't start those feuds and have them mean anything when you don't make the little things mean a lot.
Well, that's part of it. And that's kind of, I think that's a total part when we can say, you know, making the little things mean a lot. Let's say undercard feuds, we need to have them, well, you know, just last longer. And like you said, mean more and have consequences to the action. And that goes
everybody used to have one. Everybody used to have somebody they were working with.
Well, and I don't even – when you say everybody used to, I mean most – a lot
well,
more
most
people
yeah. did.
There was a cycle time where it's like I would just see Brutus Beefcake doing squash matches every – you know, maybe once a month. And he didn't really have an issue. They were just keeping his face out there saying, hi, I'm Brutus the Barber Beefcake, you know. But – It rotates around, and it's enough that you can fill a card. When you fill a card, it was mostly issues. There was the odd new guy coming in, like Dusty just coming in, so he's fighting the Honky Tonk Man, and there's no real issue there. But Honky's on the decline, and Dusty's coming in, so it kind of makes sense. They you have the odd one like that, but I think if you can fill it with issues, I mean, Chris, they have what like 8. Matches on a card a month. I mean, you can't tell me you don't do.
But
eight.
I bet you, if I was to sit here with you and say during his WWF run, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, I want you to go through and list me his feuds. You'll be able to start listing me a bunch of what were true feuds for him. Whereas right now, if I was to say that to you, go through and list me Kofi Kingston's true feuds, and he's been there for years, I think you'd struggle.
No, you absolutely would. I mean, you definitely would. I mean, I can think of, well, obviously he's got the Miz thing going on right now. He probably had a thing with Dolph Ziggler. Other than that, they had 75 matches. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then something with, you know, Truth and Kingston, right? Because primetime players say maybe.
I don't consider that a feud. That was matches. I would say maybe his thing with Orton would have been a feud.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But the point is, though, I mean, if I sit there and say to you, do it with Brutus the Barber Beefcake, what are you going to say?
Oh, I mean, he had the Honky Tonk Man. He had, what's his
Outlaw
name
Ron
there?
Bass.
Outlaw Ron Bass, Greg the Hammer Valentine. He had a short deal with Adrian Adonis.
Yep.
You know, he had... Rick Martel, he had a feud with. He had a feud with Mr. Perfect / The Genius, right? He had one with DiBiase. So I mean, yeah, it's you could, you know, well the Money Inc. right with him and Hogan, right when they smashed his face again. So I mean, and with Hogan, I mean, is the Butcher,
Yeah. Yeah.
In WCW,
I'm just talking his WWF days. You were not even talking about the feuds he would have had at the Dream Team. Or the Dream Team with the Valentine, right? So that's just, that is the point. But again, it's the same thing. When Jake Roberts had arrogance sprayed into his eyes, there was it felt important and there was consequences, and he wasn't back wrestling on our TV again a week later.
No, that's right. I mean, he sold it.
Because they've taken away the power of all this stuff, because John Cena is inhuman and Sheamus can lose his belt, or superhuman, and Sheamus can lose his belt and still laugh about it, and because Sandow can attack Clay and it doesn't hurt him, right after Otunga attacked Clay and it didn't hurt him. All of this really is something. This is again what it comes down to, is that it's taking away their power, their ability to. It's going to be really hard to do a bunch of undercard feuds and get them over if nothing has consequences.
Well, and it's got to be sustained, is the thing. I mean, there's flashes at times. I mean, I think we talked in after, or just, you know, around SummerSlam, where you had, you know, like Jinder Mahal and the Ryback was under, and the Sandow and Brodus thing, right? But
all of it,
you know,
lasted
time,
3 weeks, and none of it had consequences.
Exactly, at all. It was here, done, and that was it. And you need to be prolonging these things and making them so that they are, you know, that you're filling your pay-per-view cards with, you know, more meaningful matches.
Absolutely.
And that's part of it. Because that's how you help develop stars, too, is because when guys have issues that you can get behind, then you start to get behind the characters.
Yeah, when you don't understand their personality, part of that is because it's just a gimmick. They don't having a gimmick and having personality are different things. Having a gimmick means that you're maybe you're a guy like, I don't know, let's put a random guy, Alberto Del Rio. He has a gimmick. It's that he's a rich Mexican.
Brodus Clay.
But his personality shows up when a Big Show attacks him. Now, it lasts 2 weeks and he ends up getting squashed. But his personality can show up when he stands up to the guy and is not afraid of him, even though that's the Giant, right? But consistently doing these things is a different thing. There's a gimmick and then there's the personality. And if a guy can't talk, but his actions in a feud show you his personality, that's another way to get over a guy who can't necessarily talk well.
I tell you who doesn't really have much of I don't want to say a gimmick, but has personality and is getting over forward is Daniel Bryan.
For sure.
I mean, he has, you know, he's Cheese Whiz, right? He's got personality. But it's just, you know, he doesn't have a specific, you know, he's not a plumber or a candlestick maker, none of that bullshit. He's just a fucking, he's a wrestler, and he says no, and he's got anger management issues.
Now he does, Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why that they need to be in feuds. And you know what, Daniel Bryan has at least had a couple of sustained feuds now.
Yes, well, exactly, And now he's got you know, that involvement with Kane, and it's starting to pay. And then you've got the Rhodes Scholars, and as I said, there's pieces in place. You can have a prime time players and Mysterio and Sin Cara feud.
But yes, you can. But you know what? They can have the feud, but what you can't have is have Sin Cara and Mysterio win on the pay per view, and then lose 4 days later on SmackDown. And have all this happen so quickly and then not know what the next step is.
Well, you haven't seen SmackDown yet, but Darren Young beats Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio beats Titus O'Neil in individual singles matches. But again, that, you know what, and just to go back, and that's just that's part of this, it's all, you know, connected in some way.
Yes.
But this goes back to that reformat of the Raw or SmackDown, is that in, you know, whatever, let's just say 1988, this kind of feud would have been Darren Young beats, you know, Sin Cara, then maybe next week, let's even say, then that other match would happen.
Yes.
And then would lead to something. Whereas they did it immediately following.
Yeah.
You know, like back-to-back matches on one show. And now it's like you got to come up with something again the next week.
Yeah.
It's like you should be stretching this out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's the problem, is that we're too rushed. I don't want to say that it's a bad thing to be too rushed, this crash TV, hot-shotting. I mean, it's always bad, but when things are good, you can get away with it. You know, the Attitude Era was hot-shot central, and nobody, I mean, people complained, but, I mean, the product was great, and you got what you got. And but now that it's not good, you have to be prolonging these things to get people to care.
Well, you have to be prolonging these things, but also the other thing is they weren't filling as much TV time, and they did have fresher characters, it felt like.
Well, what it was is that at the time, it's I always use the analogy of like a hockey coach. Mm-hmm. There's really two kinds of hockey coaches. Mm-hmm. There's one that can good hockey coaches. There's ones that can motivate.
So none that we've had here in our local teams.
Well, actually, there have been. It's just been the wrong fit.
Yeah.
I look at a Mike Keenan, who's widely or was widely recognized as someone that would take a veteran team and able to motivate them to success. Mm-hmm. But if you had a team of young kids, he wasn't the teacher.
Yeah.
Another guy that was here in Calgary, ironically, at the wrong time, was Dave King.
Mm-hmm.
He was widely recognized as someone who was a teacher of the young kids and could take those kids and kind of help them and get them better.
Develop them.
Dave Tippett in Phoenix, a good example of that after Gretzky, right? Taking and developing them and getting gelling and working together. Same idea with hotshotting, in that Crash TV worked because you had Steve Austin and Mankind and all these guys that were kind of had come along over the last, The Rock, come along over the last few years and established themselves, and you had over characters that you could then hotshot. Now what you've got is you don't have anybody that's over.
No.
So you need to prolong it to get these guys over, and then once you've got, you know, a dozen guys over, then hotshot away.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. But you know what? Having these guys, like you say, again, we would talk about in the old days how you would have a guy's feud, but you would only actually see them work together if they feuded for 3 months. If you saw them on TV work together 2 times, that was a lot. And so you would look forward to each one. And they would still have the occasional interaction, and they'd cut promos against each other in the green screens in the back, and they would work on the road. But, I mean, I have seen the primetime players now and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara hook up, I don't know what, how many times? 6 or 7 times, probably, over the last 8 shows. You know, it's just and it's just, that doesn't work. That won't get over. That will make people go, what, again? And that's going to be an utter fail.
Well, not exactly. That's your failure of it. And as I said, I mean, we went out and we talked about, you know, all they have to do is jump Rey Mysterio and have it be 2-on-1 for Sin Cara so that the Rhodes Scholars get into the finals of the win the tournament and go on and fight Team Hell No at the pay-per-view, and then that sets up, you know, prime time against Rey Mysterio because they've got a grudge and issue at the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly.
I mean, like, fuck.
Right now they're fighting each other, but I still don't really know what their issue is.
Like, I don't have an issue. That's the whole thing. And that's the problem, is that the heels don't do anything dastardly to cause an issue.
Because when the heels do something dastardly, though, again, the baby faces don't sell it for longer than 10 minutes.
No, that is Triple H's downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that it's a situation where it's like the good heels, like CM Punk, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's playing a great heel
because
he gets it.
Absolutely.
He gets his heat back on the mic and he runs. He's a cowardly. He runs from the Ryback and he ducks and claws and tells lies with a smile on his face, right? And that's what you do. But it's a situation where with Sheamus and Cena as well,
I just want to say this because I know where you're going, but I just want to say this. CM Punk, in doing so, though, is eroding all the legacy of the great wrestler that people wanted to see, that he had built up as the babyface over the last year. So it's the wrong thing. The right person doing the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Well, and when you talk about wrong time, again, scared as fuck that the Bood's gonna get rocked out of the building. That the Rock is gonna get booed out of the building.
Yeah.
In Phoenix, right? And there's still going to be a section there, right?
Absolutely.
Of fans. But by building Punk up as the heel now and getting him some heel momentum, I think that's what they're doing. That's the place setting, because they do, and I mean, as much as they talk about,
you know what, if you have a bigger buy rate and the Rock gets booed and it makes your current star seem like a bigger star going forward because he's the one who's going to be around regularly, that's not a bad fucking thing.
It's not. No, not to you, not to me, not to you know,
person with the brain,
Joe Reality. Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's not what they wanted.
No.
And that's that becomes the problem. I mean, as much as they have the plan and cooler heads prevailed, they flip flopped to the ninth hour about the Ryback the Punk finish.
Yeah.
You know, and
they came up with the shitty one.
Well, they did, but I mean, the end result was
oh, yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Punk leaves with the championship,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
That was the part that I was really ultimately. I don't want to say scared of is the wrong word, because I don't actually give a fuck that much. But, you know, but that would be the thing that is
worrisome.
You know, that was the worrisome. I mean, you're building this whole thing up against CM Punk's going to be whatever you are, a 400-day-plus champion.
Okay.
And
anyways, we're going off here, though, because you're about to say something, and I said this about Punk. You're talking about, do you remember where you're going? Me either.
No, I don't. No. But, I mean, that's the undercard feuds is kind of where we were, and just saying that we need to prolong these things and keep things going. We're talking about the primetime players and such, right? But I just think that's kind of it. And going with that, I think the stability of all the titles is needed right now as well. You know, they've done that with Punk in the 400 days, going to be champion there.
Yeah, they're flip-flopping the titles really as much lately. But the problem is you still treat guys who are competing in the U.S. title like jobbers to main eventers. So even if you're holding on to the title longer, it doesn't matter if you still make these guys at the level so extreme.
Well, you have to kind of segregate these guys.
You really
right?
do.
And have guys, you know, just kind of like Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and whatnot. They can.
And
be
you know what? If
JTG
is a jobber, then use him as a jobber every fucking week. Don't put him on twice a year and have a guy like The Miz who's in a title program jobbing.
Well, it's like SmackDown had Justin Gabriel against R-Truth.
Yeah.
You know, babyface match. They shook hands before. They shook hands after. But to me, it's like Truth come in and saved Kingston from Cesaro and Miz, right?
Yeah.
Gabriel's the guy that just had the match with Cesaro at the pay-per-view and beat him on Raw or whatever it was, to respect that Raw was, in that upset non-title deal, right? So to me, the logical thing there, and when I read the spoilers, I thought, oh, it's a number one contenders match for the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
No, never mentioned.
Of course not. That would make sense.
Just a baby face.
It's just that they're filling time. Like I said in the last show, they have to get away from the idea that wrestling matches are used what they feel be time between all the other stuff that they actually want to do. They have to make every wrestling match have a consequence.
See, but that's the thing, is that when wrestling was, you know, you go back to that 80s model, right? Mm-hmm. Not that you can recreate that model, but wrestling matches largely were just backdrop. Right, you talked about, I mean, the green screen and the promos and the pages of the World Wrestling Federation magazine.
They were and they weren't. I mean, the pay-per-view matches weren't a backdrop. Wrestling matches, yeah, you're right. Oh. Those were an angle. Those squash matches were to get over the guy's moves and the guy's personality and whatever.
Let's look at that, though. I mean, we talk about that, and we talk about pay-per-view matches. I mean, like WrestleMania, well, you want to watch WrestleMania 7? I mean, there was well, let's go to six because I'm a little more familiar with that. But I mean, there's you know, you had Dino Bravo against Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and like Earthquake against I think he fought Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yep.
You know, like there were. I mean,
but these
even
had these had a purpose.
Well, they had a purpose, but no, they had no issue.
Well, no, I mean, no, that's not true. Okay, but here's the thing. Hacksaw and Bravo was an American against a foreigner, you know, patriotic thing. Okay, so there's the issue. The Valentine and Earthquake was because Earthquake had just been brought in, and Earthquake was being built as the next monster to face Hogan. So he's going to squash a guy who was seen as legitimate. There's a reason for everything.
There's a reason, absolutely, but there's no issue sort of thing. But there is a reason, and I understand that. But you also had four a year.
Yeah.
You know, and so the pace was slower. And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that Russo, you know, and Bischoff.
I don't care, though. I mean, you just talked about it. You just talked about Truth against Gabriel. The point is that they had that match, and it's just a way to fill time. Instead of having that match and saying, okay, now we're going to have the match. Now what's the consequence? Now what's the purpose? Now what's going to come out of it? Well, let's make it a number one contenders match. Or let's say this is Truth, or this is, you know, Truth wanted to face this guy because he respects him, but you know, and wants to test his skills against him. Even if it's a little thing, everything should have a purpose instead of just be, which is something they need to get away from.
But I don't think, and yes, exactly, I think everything, and that was, I mean, we talked about Russo fucking through Crash TV. Russo did have the benefit of Vince Russo, is that when he was booking that Attitude Era, is that, yes, everybody had a purpose,
uh-huh.
right? Like, I mean, like, hardcore Holly had a purpose,
uh-huh.
you know? It's just, and so he was very good at making sure that there was a reason that people showed up on television,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what's lost.
And that is
now.
Something that TNA is doing better still.
Yes. There is still a reason that for TNA has generally speaking, always had a reason for their matches.
Yeah.
You know, in the last, whatever, 6 weeks or 6 months rather, like since they started with that Ultimate Fight and the gut checks and all that stuff, you know?
Exactly. When Robbie T is on TV and wrestling against Samoa Joe, at least there's a purpose, or you can say this was the purpose or this was the reason.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So yeah, and when yeah, exactly, and JTG against the Ryback, there's really no reason.
No, well, at least that I can say is a reason to push the guy as a monster, but it's the ones in between. It's the all of a sudden. It's the Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton that goes 20 minutes but has no purpose.
Yeah.
That's what the issue that I have here is, that they need to find a reason. Okay, this is the match. Now, what's the reason why it happens, or what's going to be the consequence coming out of it? Give the match a purpose. That's all, you know.
Yeah. And that's,
and
yeah,
instead and of
that's,
just the fill time. So when you have Chavo Guerrero against Christopher Daniels, at least you're going to say, here's a purpose.
Yes. Speaking of which, Hernandez at the house show last night did, you know, that plancha over the top rope thing that he does, that dive?
Crazy fucking thing?
Yeah, didn't make it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And head first to the concrete and was, like, knocked out for a minute
uh-huh.
at the house show. So I think we talked. I think it was even a live audio commentary we watched, and we mentioned that. Well, it happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was going to happen sooner or later. He's like 40. He's like, yeah.
I know.
So
yeah. Well, I know, and I mean, you just think. I mean, what a tragedy it would be that a tag team partner, a Chavo, died in his 40s.
So what else have you got that you want to fix out there?
Oh, God. Let's keep going. House shows. These guys need to cut promos on house shows.
Fucking right they do. That's a good point. Unscripted promos at house shows. Help them develop their personality and the delivery.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're doing it in front of 5,000 people, so who gives a fuck, right?
Exactly. If it ends up on the internet, it ends up on the internet.
Oh, sure. But I mean, that's actually probably a good thing if it ends up on the internet, you know, for...
WWE should encourage people, the fans, to record these guys with their cell phones all the time.
Well, but then John Cena will just get it taken down.
Yeah, but it'll you know, reinvent the business.
That's true. Yeah, they should just follow guys around everywhere at the Waffle House and such.
Exactly.
Because then they'll become big stars.
Yeah. TMZ will show that footage. Hey, Hogan, what happened when TMZ showed footage about you recently? Was that a lot of fun?
Yeah. Hey, look, here's Garrett Bischoff eating at the Waffle House, TMZ.
Fuck.
Can you put it on your show?
Fucking idiots.
Yes. House show promos, though, I think is a big thing, and that'll just help guys get
and
develop characters. So, yeah. announcers. I mean, Jerry Lawler is coming back in 2 weeks.
You're going to talk about announcers. It's really too bad. I have a blog that I've written on JR, and no matter what you're going to say, I wish you had read this first, and it's probably going to go up here in the next day or so. Or two here, we're going to go up shortly. It's called Replacing JR.
Okay. I'm not available, though.
But anyways, what you're going to go into is probably, I probably went into it in depth in that to some degree as well in that in this article. So go ahead. What are you going to say?
I mean, all I was really going to say is that, like, the last since the King had his heart attack, he's come back in 2 weeks. Since he's had his heart attack, there's been a marked improvement in the commentary. Matches and everything that I've – even matches that I don't necessarily care about that you're talking – you know, we talk about the
– how much of that is JR and how much of that is the fact that Cole's no longer having to do that stupid-ass heel character?
And how much of it is JBL?
Mm-hmm.
You know, JBL to me is tremendous.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And actually, to me, it's more JBL than it is. I mean, because it's JBL and Josh generally on SmackDown now,
mm-hmm.
and it's just Cole and Cole and JR on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, yeah, Michael Cole not being the fucking heel jack off is huge because it takes a whole level of annoyance down.
Oh God. Yeah. Makes the matches and the angles and the characters and the actions of the performers mean more when you don't have, you know, somebody who is just annoying and you don't believe and once makes you want to turn off the show, telling you what's going on.
Well, that, yeah, exactly. But I think that, I don't know. I just look at JR. Well, not, you know, JR isn't the JR of old, I guess. But he's also got shit to call too.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, you say he isn't the JR of old. I think he is. Yeah, like you say, he hasn't had that thing that when the moments have happened, when it's something really great, he's been able to make it really great. It's just those things don't happen often anymore.
I just think that Jerry Lawler needs to go away. And, like, I'm when I saw that he was coming back in 2 weeks, I was just like, fuck. Damn it.
I know. I kind of had the same reaction. I'm like, because I would love to know when he comes back, does that mean that – I don't think he comes back and Ross is gone right away.
Well, but even if he is, even if he isn't, I guess, even if it's a three-man booth – Jerry Lawler need ads. Yeah, but I mean, even forever. Let's just say till 2094. It's a three-man booth. It doesn't add. Like, it's still not. I don't think it adds anything. Like, Jerry Lawler adds nothing to it.
No, I
haven't
agree.
Watched. I haven't watched a match in the last whatever 2 months and thought, you know, this match was, you know, if Lawler was on this, it'd be so much better.
Yep, I agree.
You know, so. I mean, yes, he had a hard time. This guy, he's the guy, again, we talked about, he's the guy to replace Vicky Guerrero, then, as the interim, multiphysical, metaphysical supervisor of all that is holy and pure in wrestling, or whatever the fuck her title is. That's Lawler's role. Show up
you know,
every once
Vince
in a while.
Doesn't.
Right? No, he doesn't. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't even know what that means. You know who they need. to do that, now that I just thought about it, to replace Vicky Guerrero as the interim supervisor of, or whatever, of Raw, is Lex Luger.
Oh, yeah?
What is my title? I don't even know what that means!
Yeah, that was awesome.
I can't even take off my shirt! There you go. But, I mean, that's Lawler's role, not behind the commentary desk. Again, William Regal is ready.
Oh, yeah, William Regal is ready. Absolutely.
And William,
but for me, I mean, yeah, William Regal is ready. I don't want JR. I'd love to see them get JBL to stick around. You know, I'm sorry, I don't want Lawler. I agree. You know, he's just...
There's a role for Jerry Lawler.
There's a role for Jerry Lawler. I don't want him as my color commentator. They're not going to get JR or JBL to stick around. So that leaves Regal. You still then have a slot.
Kelly?
But, I mean, unless you want to put Regal on both shows. Now, I'm okay with that. Personal.
Well, you're still... No, I mean, so we don't have King.
Yeah.
You said. Do we have JBL? No?
No, he's not going to stick around permanently. He's just not.
Yeah. Well, to me, you do Regal and Josh on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and yeah, Cole and JR would be on Raw. And that to me, is perfect.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen either.
No, I mean, it's
not
going to happen.
So really what you have is I would love to see Regal on... I'd like to see Regal and Cole, because Josh is average. They haven't got a second color commentator once you throw out Jim Ross.
No, but Josh Matthews
or second play-by-play guy. They don't have They have Cole, who's passable when he's, you know, at times.
Yeah.
Who's you know what? And I don't want to get into this too much, because I'm just going to repeat what I wrote in my blog. What I put in there is his work has varied from being quite good to very poor,
right,
as an announcer. And he's still the best they have.
Michael Cole, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
As far as guys they're going to use, because they're not going to use JBL. Or they're not going to use... JBL's not going to stick around. I don't want King. They're not going to keep Jim Ross.
No, they're not.
So, you know, it's... You talk about the announcers. Yeah, I would love to see... If it's just Regal and Cole on both shows, I'd be fucking fine with that. And why the fuck can't it be? It's not like the shows have any separate personalities anyways.
Differentiation. No, exactly, yeah.
And then have... And Matthews as the backstage a reporter. You know, he's great at that.
Especially with Booker not being able now. He's the general manager of SmackDown. There's one you haven't seen SmackDown yet, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was I want to say that it was David Otunga and Natalya. Oh, that was. It was David Otunga, Natalya, and Teddy Long. Teddy Long and Booker are in Booker's office, and they're talking about something. Natalya walks up and says, "Oh, Eve's on the European tour, so I thought, you know, if you needed an assistant, I could help you out."
Mm-hmm.
And David Otunga goes, "Get out of here." So he walks in, "Yeah, get out of here, assistant, whatever." He's like, "You need assistant? I've got experience with it," or something. And then he takes a sip of his coffee and he goes, "Oh, I need you to fight the returning superstar, the great Kali." And Otunga spits all over Natty. The coffee spits all over Natty or whatever. And so Natty just looks, you know, whatever, pissed off or whatever, and Otunga just kind of grins and takes another sip of coffee, so Natty spits or slaps him, and of course he spits it all over Teddy then, spits the other way, spits it all over Teddy, and Booker's just standing there, and when he hits it all over Teddy, all it does is it starts to fade to black, and all you hear is Booker go, "Oh my goodness." I'm like, I miss him on commentary so much.
I don't.
He's like, "Oh my
Shucky ducky.
Quack, quack." No, but I mean, you've got those coverage. Further on, speaking of, you said Josh Matthews to go to the backstage announcer role, because another thing that's come up is that it does seem Matt Stryker took a Randy Orton's was fighting Del Rio in the back. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a, they're going to England, I guess, for the next coming TV tapings or something. And they're going to have a Falls Count Anywhere match, Del Rio and Orton on that SmackDown.
Oh, wonderful.
But they were fighting in the back. And, yeah, they're fighting in the back. And after the thing, Stryker tries to get a comment from Randy Orton. And Randy grabs him and pushes his face or slams him into the Stryker into the table. There's pie there because they're in catering. And he's got pie all over his face. And he just, again, the look on Stryker's face tell it, it just looks like Stryker is going like a heel manager.
Good.
I mean, he should. I don't know if, again, this is the same company, like we talked about, that they were starting some feuds in that lasted 3 weeks. So this could be another dropped idea.
Well, easily it could be. Easily it could be. You know, they don't want but that. But good. I mean, that would be terrific. As far as I'm concerned, that would be terrific if it happens.
And to get back to that, I think Jerry Lawler is a guy that could be, you know, the babyface manager of these guys. If you got a babyface that can't talk, give him Lawler.
Like the Ryback?
Yeah,
the Ryback already has a babyface manager to talk for him.
That's
John Cena.
That's true. That's true. So, yes. But Lawler would do it well. But no, I mean, they always had the you know, there was always the odd babyface manager kind of kicking around. There weren't a lot of them. You know,
right.
Like
you're
old school Linden, you're you know,
I
Oliver
think managers
Humber.
Have a role. Both heel and babyface managers have a role. I don't think authority figures do.
No, they,
well they
again,
do. They do. Once or twice a year when it means something. They show up via satellite.
We call them the Jack Tunney, right? Because that's what they should have, is the Jack Tunney role.
Exactly.
And again, and that's what JR should do if he's not going to announce.
Exactly. That'd be great.
But, I mean, I very well could see. And it wouldn't be hard to turn Lawler heel eventually, too. You know, right now is the beloved color commentator. He can't. That's why he's got to be a babyface manager.
Yeah.
But down the road, you could very easily turn him Paul Bearer, right? Turn it on the Undertaker to go with Mankind, like that kind of thing.
Yep.
You could very easily, you know, get Lawler back on that heel path, and that's where I think he would be most effective in the vein of Jimmy Hart, and his Memphis heel managers, right?
Yep. I agree. So what else you got here for ideas, positives? Is that it?
I think that might be it. How about you? Do you got anything?
No. I wanted to hear. You were the one who said you had thought of it a little bit more, so I wanted to hear if you had anything else on there.
Yeah.
You did.
It was just, yeah, that was
basically, you sent me, I didn't think we were doing this because your schedule is full up, and you just basically sent me a text, said, you want to do it? I'm like, when I get home, let's do it. Talk some wrestling.
No, that's just it. Yeah.
So, okay, what else you got there? I mean,
couple of other quick little things. Well, the quickest of the quick notes. It was announced, with Jim Cornette getting killed by who is it that he got killed by to get knocked out or whatever out of it anyway, and losing the booking power, he was removed as the on-air authority figure of Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. So they announced their new authority figure tonight, actually on tonight's show. To replace him, I don't know what they've called him, just authority figure. Nigel McGuinness is going to take over as the authority figure.
It's too bad. Now, there's somebody I'd like to see WWE bring in as their other color commentator. If I had Regal on one and Nigel McGuinness on the other, I'd be very happy.
And in England.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, so that's the quickest of the quick hits. I had the opportunity to watch Impact, and you did not.
I had the opportunity to. I just didn't have the inclination.
Well,
there's a difference.
You didn't have, that's true. Well, you went out and did your little errand before the or after.
And last night I was going to watch it, and then I thought, no, fuck it. I'm going to watch the campaign instead.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. It had a moment where Will Ferrell punched a baby. Laughed my ass off.
That was awesome, actually. Yes. I forgot. Yes, in that lineup. That was awesome.
I mean, not much of the movie otherwise was any good, but that moment right there made the movie for me. That was one of my favorite funny moments ever.
Banging the guy's wife into the freezer was pretty funny.
That's pretty fucking funny, too. Yes, it was. You get my son to call you dad? I fuck your wife. I'm gonna fuck his wife, and we're gonna put it on TV. The following commercial has been rated TVM.
Yes. I approve this message. But anyway, you watch Campaign Center, I watch Impact after we record the show.
I'm sure.
Well, there are a couple things on Impact, kind of good and bad. Another, we talked about the big story to close the show. Luke Gallows was unmasked.
I thought their big thing was that none of them should ever lose their mask. That's their identity. He's been playing the leader guy, right?
I don't know if he had or not. He wasn't in the leader's mask or anything. He wasn't unmasked. The leader was not unmasked to be Luke Gallows. He was just a member.
I don't mean the leader, the guy, but I just mean the guy who was the guy cutting the promos.
No, that was D'Lo Brown.
Earlier?
D'Lo Brown's been the guy sitting at the clubhouse cutting the promos as the leader.
Oh, has he?
It's D'Lo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's D'Lo Brown. But, and I mean, who? It could be Ole Anderson, for God's sakes. It's shockmastered up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, Black Scorpions, right? Yeah. So, I mean, but anyway, he was unmasked
by...
Physically,
it looked like it was him. Because it was the same guy with a gray bottom half and a top clear half mask, I thought. So, that was Gallows.
I think he'd come out earlier, like early on in the angle as that guy.
Yeah.
But this was not him that was unmasked. Like, it was a different kind of mask or whatever. I mean, they all wear similar masks, but it wasn't the leader-y guy. But he was unmasked by Joseph Park. Park.
Does that mean that there's two other Park brothers, by the way, that we haven't met yet?
Yeah, there must be. Can't wait. I hope it's the Briscoes.
That would be fucking great.
I hope they sign the Briscoes and bring them in
as the other two fucking parks. That'd be great.
That
would make Abyss not actually the black sheep of the family. That would be fantastic.
That's actual, you know what? That's money, though.
That is money. Fucking rights it is.
Problems with the Briscoes at Joseph Park?
Fucking rights it is.
God. That is money. Now, don't say that. But anyway, no. But Joseph Park did a great.
He opened the
show in the ring in his like wrestling gear, his like whatever his tracksuit or whatever he's got there, and did an awesome job of like not being a wrestler, like looking like he had the microphone in his hand, but it was kind of down on the thing, and he's like looking at it like a producer. He's like, "Can I talk now?"
I know. We're doing this live. We're not going to make the edit. I want you to sing or something. Sing Pile Driver, because I'm just going to quickly get a drink, because I can't live without one, because we've been going a fucking another hour and a half again, even after we went 2 hours on Thursday, 2 days ago. Okay. And I do want to hear what you're going to say, but I need a drink. Now, because I'm too lazy to make an edit in this show, I'll sing Pile Driver, unless you feel like singing Girls in Cars.
I was just about to sing Girls in Cars, actually. I wasn't going to say Powder. I was going to say Girls in Cars. How did you know?
All right, I'm going to be back in literally seconds, though.
The thing is, I'm going to sing till I get there, and then when you get back, I got to go take a piss, and you're gonna pick up Girls in Cars. So, they pass you on the road, and it's fine that you have to think twice. I don't even know the words. But anyway, no, I think that I'm not even going to sing Girls in Cars. And then as a rib, when Mo gets back, he's going to be like, I was singing Girls in Cars the whole time. Now you have to sing the second verse. So, but the best part about Impact or Luke Gallows, I'm going to go back to that, is that they didn't say who he was. They didn't, I know that guy. And the funny part was they talked about how he was a kingpin or something, or a bodyguard for some of the biggest names in the business. Basically just CM Punk, unless they really think that Jesse, Terry Gordy's son there, was one of the biggest names in the business. Who knows, could be a member of Aces and Eights at this point. Who knows? But... because they have about 75 fucking members, it seems. But I don't know what the fuck Mo's doing right now. So maybe I will have to to sing something. But I can't even think of what to sing. Girls in Cars, as we said, I don't know all the words of the Girls in Cars, girls, girls, girls in cars, girls, girls. I love Girls in Cars, girls, girls, girls in cars, girls, girls, girls in cars, girls, girls. Yeah, Girls in Cars, girls, girls.
Do you even know the words?
Huh? What? I was singing the whole time you were there. Now you have to pick it up from the second verse. Okay, I'm going to go take a leak and go.
Girls, 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 girls in... I don't know the second verse. So while I was getting a drink, he's relieving himself of one. Since I don't know the song, I'm going to tell you guys a joke. It's going to be really, really... And he doesn't let me tell jokes on the air anymore. So I'm going to tell you a joke. This is really, really offensive, really, really dirty. I'm really, really sorry, but it makes me laugh. So what the hell... going to tell you a joke. Okay, so this kid, he's 7 years old. He wakes up. We'll call him, what the hell, you always call a little kid in jokes, the little kid Johnny. So little Johnny wakes up and goes up to his parents' room because he woke up in the middle of the night, and his mom and dad are getting it on, right? So he's like, Mom, Dad, what are you doing? And Dad goes, go in the back, 20 minutes. Come to your room in 20 minutes. So, 20 minutes later, he comes in, he goes down to see little Johnny and see what he's, upset about or whatever there, and he hears this noises coming from little Johnny's room, and this is sound weird. I'm gonna tell it tell this joke from here on in is Norm MacDonald. So he's like goes in, he says he opens the door, and he's like, what the H? Because what happens there is his son, little Johnny, there's he's sleeping with his grandmother, and he goes, what are you doing? And he tells little Johnny, he says, little Johnny says, it's not so fucking funny when it's your mom, is it? Anyway.
All you girls have gone a bit too far. I'm not safe behind the wheel of my car.
And he's back.
But sure, you got a serious effect on me. You're my highway fantasy.
How was your piss?
Huh? Yellow.
Well, you're four beers into the show. We've been talking for an hour and a half. You had a whole bunch of them. You had a six-pack lined up there. You're on your fourth, right? On the other hand, just drinking Coke because I'm not a lush like you.
Mo is just doing Coke. So, yes. Let's see. So where were we?
You were going to tell me you were just talking about Joseph Park opening up in the ring.
Oh, yes. Park, park, and park. Yeah, he's got the microphone down by his like his leg or whatever, and he looks over at the producer and he's like, "You know what? Is it okay for me to talk now? Can I go now?" Which is just awesome. Like just the way he's like, "Can I talk now?" Because he looks like, "What? Can I now? Yeah, it's okay." But anyway, and then the angle kind of unraveled from there. But I think just the highlights.
The
I
highlight
guess,
was the opening 10 seconds. You're saying?
Yes. Yes. Well, no, of that. And it said Luke Gallows got a mask at the end. Sting had promised that someone was getting unmasked tonight. So that was kind of the tease of the show. So, and they'd been teasing with, Devon at the clubhouse thing or wherever they were saying, our masks are identity. No one can be unmasked. We talked about a couple weeks ago saying, okay, well, that means someone's getting unmasked soon. So that's good that they're starting to unveil these guys now because we need to get away from these, ski masks. Things.
Yeah, I suppose. So, but was the there other any thing reaction was, to him being unmasked?
No, it was just like, ooh. And then Tanay's like, that guy's been one of the, like, bodyguards for some of the biggest names in the business. It's like, yeah. CM Punk and Jesse.
Yeah. And I don't really think he was really Jesse's bodyguard. And don't forget when he was the other Kane.
That was awesome.
Oh, it wasn't.
But no. But I mean, it was the. I mean,
only
so
WWE that... could manage to take an idea like the Underfaker and do it worse.
I don't know that they did it worse.
That says something.
Yes. But they did it. They realized it sooner.
They realized, but the idea is, hey, remember that idea that was really shitty? Let's do that again.
My favorite was that, like, Kane, the real Kane just punched, like, fake Kane, like, a couple times and, like, threw him out of the building. And then fake Kane was, like, never seen from him again.
They took his mask 2 days after losing clean to him on the pay-per-view. Or 1 day after losing clean to him on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so that's Drew Hankinson, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, they haven't given him a name or anything yet. They just said, you know, that guy is.
Armbreaker? Is he going to be Armbreaker?
I don't know. I thought Mike Knox was the Armbreaker.
Well, whatever.
I mean, it doesn't matter. The other thing was, is that Kurt Angle said
Mike
that he was...
Mike Knox is not going to have that, if he's been in that mask, he's not going to have that beard. Without that beard.
Right? He has no power.
Oh.
But the other thing is that Kurt Angle's got backup. He brought backup to fight the Aces and Eights. And AJ? It was Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff.
Oh, good.
So
I suppose technically that's, since they're going to turn on him and be part of this, technically the right thing, especially, and it does make sense that Garrett is in there now that Devon's in there.
If when Eric is revealed as the leader, that will make sense. So, you know, like the whole kind of thing, right? So he'll have a connect. Well, that won't make sense, but at least be his father, so they have a connection there, right? So
Wes Briscoe's backup, why would you want to bring this kid that nobody's ever seen Russell as your backup, number one, and number two, how can he be your backup? He doesn't have a fucking contract, technically, right?
Yeah, I know. He doesn't know. So, who knows? But there was a good thing and a bad thing as well on Impact.
Okay.
In one segment. They showed the opening of Hulk Hogan's new merchandise store, you know, Hulk Hogan on the Beach or whatever the store is called. And Jeremy Borash interviewing Hulk Hogan about the grand opening and how great this is going.
Wasn't that the name of his porno? Hulk Hogan on the beach? Oh, wait, no, wait. That was Hulk Hogan on the bitch.
On the bitch, no. Yes. Bitch had the love sponge.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, she seems like a nice lady.
Saying, oh, this thing is going great, Hulkster, it's great. He's going, oh, yeah, thanks to all the fans for coming out, blah, blah. Well, who shows up but Matt Morgan? And says, hey, Terry. How's it going? And he's like, this is your store. This is all your stuff. Look at all this stuff. And he's like, don't touch that stuff. That's merchant. That's memorabilia. That's priceless memorabilia. Don't touch that stuff. Because he's got an old title belt hanging on the wall. And he's got his robe, the golden robe that he did when he, remember when he first come in with Freddie Blassie?
Yep,
and he
was
in the early 80s. And he fought, so he's like, this here, he's like, don't touch that. So he just picks it up.
That's true. That's actually valuable memorabilia if it's the real shit.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, so, but...
But is Morgan he selling this stuff, or is this just to make his store look good? Because I'm sure he needs the fucking money.
He does, but it was just to make the store look good.
Okay.
But, so he's going, so Morgan picks it up, and he goes, what, this? And he puts it over his shoulder. He's like, that's the robe I wore to fight Andre the Giant at Shea Stadium, dude. He's like, that's priceless. You can't... He's like, come on, this isn't the time. This isn't the place. He's like, this is the time, Terry, because I said it's the time. Don't embarrass yourself, Terry. You want to do something about it? Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself in front of your fans. Don't embarrass yourself at your store. Don't do this. You don't want a piece of this. I'm taking this. I'm taking this robe, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Don't embarrass yourself.
That sounds great.
And Hogan's like, fuck. Like, oh, shit. Like, he's got this look. Like, fuck. No. Like, you know, he's tough guy, but he's not. Like, he's not going, you can have it, sir. You can have it. But at the same time, he's going, fuck, I know I can't beat this guy. Like, that's the look on his face. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back, and then they cut, or whatever, they finish the thing. And cut! No. They just end the thing, and then they go back to the monitor. And there's Hogan smiling and nodding his head, going, yeah, he's starting to get it, brother. He's starting to get it. I'm like, my dog jumped out of his, off his pillow, because I stood up at the TV and went, fuck you, Hogan! Because Hogan just took this great segment and he pissed on it in like 10 seconds.
I don't even know what you mean when he says that. Like, what the?
Hogan is staring at the... He's watching the segment on a monitor backstage. They cut to Hogan watching the segment on the monitor backstage after it happens. And Hogan, yeah, like, this is all part of Hogan's plan to bring out the monster in Matt Morgan. That Hogan wanted him to do all this. So Hogan's not actually a weak coward. this was Hogan's plan all along. See, because Hogan's the toughest guy in the world and the smartest.
Oh, I remember. I remember at Bound for Glory when every fucking member of Aces and Eights took a bump for him where he could barely walk down. And
yes, it was the verbal version of that is what it was. He took a great segment, and it's all shit now. All of it.
Well, Hulk Hogan needs to protect himself because you know what? Who else is going to carry the company if it's not a 62-year-old man?
It's just, but Matt Morgan, now he come out. I think he had a, I don't know if it was a tag match with him and Joey Ryan, but he did. He comes out. Oh, no, it was just a promo. And anyway, he comes out and he's wearing the robe.
Yeah.
So Matt Morgan wears the robe now.
Oh, that I like. Is,
yeah. So, so it was good. But and it was a great segment. It was a great promo in the beach house. Great, great, great. And then Hogan pissed on it, and I was just like, "Fuck!"
All right. Yeah. What else? What else happened?
It was also then time for Deep Thoughts by Jeff Hardy.
Oh no! I told you they'd do it again.
And I knew it because they just showed Jeff Hardy, and he was putting his makeup on, and all of a sudden it was like, that's all you could hear in the background, and it was just like. Austin Aries thinks he's pretty tough. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. Anyway, this is the thing about Austin Aries or whatever. He fought...
Stupid. I hate them.
Anyway, Robbie E. ended up calling him out because Austin Aries kind of prodded him into calling out Jeff Hardy. He's like, you're the only guy that beat him in the Bound for Glory series. You got to take him. He's a heavyweight champion.
I'm pretty sure if we went back and looked at it, I think he was doing jobs early on. I don't think he's the only one to beat him. I think...
But whatever he was doing, he's like, you beat him in the Bound for Glory series.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's, you got to take advantage. If you can beat him now, then maybe you'll get a title shot, da-da-da-da-da. And anyway, so manipulating him, and so he calls him out and then whatever. And then they end up with a promo, Aries and Jeff Hardy. And anyway, it turns out that it's going to be a ladder match at Turning Point. Austin Aries, Jeff Hardy in a ladder match.
Fuck them. I hate them. Now I want to see this and pay for this. Fuck! Yeah.
So.
Fuck, because you know that's going to be great.
I know. And then you got the
Fuck
Mexicans.
You.
Again. That was the other
thing.
You don't
deserve
that,
my money with all your shit and your deep thoughts, but you need to do this.
Well, they deserve it more than WWE. Of the two, it's more than... I mean, I'm looking... Yeah, but it's... I don't know. Yeah, that's going to be a good match. So,
they deserve it more than WWE. You know what that's like? That's
I
like
know.
When you're at like the grocery store, and they're all sold out of Pepsi and Coke, but you want a Coke, and what they have left is the generic, the store brand Coke.
The generic Jackhammer?
Yeah, the store brand Coke and the generic brand Coke. And you're just trying to decide which is less shitty.
Yes. Then I have a tab.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, but I mean anyway, it's that's gonna be. And then the former world heavyweight or the former world tag team champions of the world come out as well, and they, because it's open fight night, so you can call out anybody. So they've decided that because they get to call out anybody they want. You know, Heath is out of the way. You know, Thunderlips is said we can call out anybody we want. So we're going to call out a member of Mexico's greatest wrestling family and his partner, someone that's is just one of the biggest and meanest in the business. That's right. Hector Guerrero and Willie Herbina, we're calling you out.
Yeah, that's where you're going to go. Yeah, yeah.
That's where they were going to go to exactly. As soon as he
started. That sounds fucking great.
So, yeah, it was, and they beat him down. And anyway, the nice part about it, the great part about that was that, I mean, Hernandez and Chavo end up making this game. Chavo was just pissed.
Yeah.
Like, he fucking livid. And Daniels is like, oh, it's not a joke now, is it? We got your attention? It's not a joke. Like, he's not even doing this in the microphone. He's like, when they're walking up the ramp.
Yeah.
He's like, you're all jokes, lack sweet, not so funny now, is it? I got your attention now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see pay-per-view. Like, you know, like, fucking that was great.
Oh, of course, Daniels is great.
Yeah.
Actually, this is sounding pretty good, except for...
But it, well, I mean, the, again, the pay-per-view is sort of, again, they've got that, they've got, they're going to have
Magnus. Again, and they're giving it a feud, and they're giving it a purpose, and it's more than just the title. It's personal now, and you're giving it something extra. Something that WWE is failing to do.
Exactly, exactly. So, but, and now you, and then you've got, it was, Magnus calls out Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
They have a match, and he ends up taking, I forget what it was, like a wrench or something, or a chain, and whacking Joe right in front of the referee with it, get disqualified, but beats Joe, and then Joe ends up going and demanding that they have a match at the pay-per-view, a no-rules match, a no-disqualification, no-count-out match.
Cool.
So, TV titles, so that's going to happen at the pay-per-view.
Somehow
as well.
They're doing a pay-per-view, like, we've seen this with WWE, they have their WrestleMania, and then the next pay-per-view is all rematches. And I'm usually bored by it, but this one is all rematches, and yet they're actually managing to make them more interesting than they did at Bound for Glory. So I don't mind the idea of seeing them again.
Well, but I mean, a rematch and a ladder, okay, that's fine. I mean, this is basically Extreme Rules to WrestleMania, right? All the rematches with Stips.
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know.
But and, this is like culmination of feuds, it feels like, or progressions of feuds. Whereas WWE felt like, hey, it's time to do a rule. The name of our next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules. Let's just have a bunch of stip matches.
Well, and the thing is, exactly. And the thing is, with WrestleMania, has been largely built around the culmination of feuds for, not always, but for probably the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years maybe. That's things culminate there. Where Bound for Glory, you never really have that history. Well, hell, it hasn't even been around for that long, right?
Yeah.
So, for 10 years. So, it's a situation where, yeah, you have,
has
now
it been,
you
is
have,
this their 10th one or the 8th one?
Well, it's a 10-year-old company. They, so it's probably, Bound for Glory is probably, yeah, like their 7th or 8th. Well, because even the first monthly pay-per-view was called Victory Road.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't even Bound for Glory. So, this is probably the 6th or 7th Bound for Glory that they've had.
Okay. Well, I do know they had, the one in 2005 where Joe did that crazy thing that Jeff Hardy from before he left the company and came back, they had for Bound for Glory. So my only point on that is, if it's, let's just say this is their 8th one, it doesn't have the legacy after 8 years. You say, well, of course, you said, well, of course, it's only 10 years old. Okay, it doesn't have the legacy after 8 years that WrestleMania had after 8 years.
No, but did it have the... Anyone, and I guess it doesn't have the legacy that Starrcade had.
I was about to say that next.
I'm just trying to think of, but I mean, but that's impossible, really.
I suppose.
Mean, given, I mean, it just, it, I think that's a, I understand what you're saying. I think that's just unfair. Like, I want to make that comparison too, but at the same time, it's like, God, you don't have fucking Dusty or Flair or Harley. Like, you don't got a fucking, or Magnum or Tully. You don't got a chance.
No.
To do
this, right? I know. Anyways, go on. So, yeah, what you're saying about the, yeah, what else happened on the show?
So, Christian York. It was interesting because I didn't even know that, what's his name there? That, who is the villain in Iron Man 2?
Whiplash?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the guy's name? The
Mickey
actor?
Rourke?
Mickey Rourke, that's the guy. Didn't realize Mickey Rourke changed his name to Christian York.
Really? Because he's only 35. 16 years in the business. Only 35.
Yeah. Just looked like a member of Eminem. Like, just jacked, like no wellness policy, obviously. And the hair, the dreadlocks, the, you know, like Randy the Ram kind of thing. Fought Zema Ion. Looked like he could come in, step in, and do fine. Like, he just looked like he could come in and be another guy.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last... We haven't seen Sanjay Dutt, Dakota Darso, any of those guys from that X Division from...
No, Christ,
from
no.
We haven't seen hell any X Division in the fall, really, other than Zema Ion and Rob Van Dam. But Christian York could come in and sort of fill that spot. Chris York can have a match, I think, against you know, AJ Styles, and I would believe it.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
So I think he should get hired. I don't know if he will. And the story again, they
Did
kept
he
showing.
Win?
You know, no, he didn't win. But he almost did. But no, he didn't win. I mean,
I'm still waiting for one of these guys to win the fucking match.
Yeah, but I think the first guy that's going to win is going to be, like, the 1-2-3 kid.
Yeah, I guess.
But when they have, like, the next, like, Amazing Red type guy that's on the indies that they can have do it, I don't think that guy exists right now. But speaking of which, on SmackDown last week when they had the go-home show where they had that police lineup between Show and Sheamus, Big Show and Sheamus, and they had the security or the police or whatever in getting in between them, you know who I saw that was in between them? Yeah. Evan Markopoulos.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
He was one of the guys. I'm like, that's Evan Markopoulos.
Interesting.
What? But actually, he would have been the 1-2-3 kid kind of guy.
He should have been, yeah, exactly.
Should have won.
Again,
whatever,
if it's the same thing every single time, it gets old. Mm-hmm. If the guys never win, it gets old.
This at least felt like a different story.
A little bit. It's a veteran.
So, yeah.
Looking
like
for his next shot.
Next shot veteran guy. And we talked about, like, you know, like a Val Venus type thing or whatever, you know, on our show. But this guy, this actually works perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Storyline-wise, it does.
So, and I mean, in the match work, so that was good. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else that, can't think of anything else that happened. So, that was Impact.
All right. Well, anything else you want to say then? Because again, we've managed to go 4 fucking hours in the last 3 days here worth of podcasts.
Yeah. Anything else I want to say? Boobs.
Tatas.
Yes.
Fun bags.
Funny fun bags.
But Kelly Kelly's a whore.
She totally is.
China does porn movies.
I think so. But no, I think that you're welcome. But I think that, you know, just we're getting every week we get closer and closer to 2013 and you know, and that 4 months of, you know, or whatever, 3 months, 4 months of Royal Rumble, WrestleMania.
But it didn't always be this way. It used to be because it used to be Survivor Series was a big deal. So as Survivor Series has gone down the tubes, this has become a 4-month stretch of what feels like just like a 4 months that feels like 40 years. I mean, it wasn't always that way, though.
I'll be quite honest. They keep putting the winner of the Royal Rumble in the opening match at WrestleMania. It's going to become an Elimination Chamber WrestleMania build pretty quick.
It really is.
You know what I mean? Going to be five. It's going to take 5 years probably, but I mean it's going to get there the way that they're going if they continue, you know, on the same pace. But I mean right now, at the very least right now, when I look at things, and you can do, you know, the main event. You always kind of have to have what the Royal Rumble match itself, which is if they do every 2 minutes. You know, it's a 75. You know. Let's say it's an 80-minute thing with the promo.
Mm-hmm.
So you can book half your show there, and you do a half an hour. You know, you really need, say, a big main event, like the Punk and Rock will be half an hour with everything, right?
Minimum.
Then you do 90
maybe
minutes.
40 minutes. I bet you that's 40 minutes with everything, with entrances, post-match celebration, all that shit.
Okay. It's okay, and then you do 80 minutes, so then you got 2 hours there, so now you just have 45 minutes to fill, right? So you do kind of three of the under, a Divas match in there, and a couple, you know, other
You do
matches.
The other world title match. You got to have the other world title.
Yeah, you do the other world title, that's fine, and then you have one other match with the guys, with both guys pulling double duty. They're both guys pulling double duty here tonight is the whole thing, and you do that. But I think you've got enough. I don't want to say over, guys, because nobody's really over. But over for now, Royal. I think I could fill a 30-man Royal Rumble pretty easily right now.
Absolutely, and you know, for maybe it'll even be a 40-man Royal Rumble, or maybe it'll be the biggest Royal Rumble in history and be 41 men. Or 42.
Fuck.
Or 45, and then the Royal Rumble will have just gotten warmed up.
Then it would just get warmed up. And actually, it could have Greg Namer Valentine in because that was his forte.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I'm sure they'll bring back some guys, too. But yeah.
Well, then you bring some guys in. But, I mean,
they better do a better fucking job than they did last year.
Who did they bring back last year? It was, like, the Road Dog. And did they bring anybody else back?
I don't know.
Khali back?
Maybe.
Karma was in it?
Karma was in it. Karma might have been the biggest deal. Didn't they bring back, like, Gold Dust? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe Gold Dust, the Road Dogg, Karma, Great Khali. And then he had, like, Michael Cole. He had all three announcers.
That was one of the gimmicks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fucking awful one. As far as, like, the, you know, was no Diesel and Booker T.
No, was Diesel and Booker T the biggest one of all time? Yes, it was. That was the 40-man
one.
Yeah, so, I mean, you think of last year where they didn't even have a – they had a 30-man one, and they had three announcers, Karma,
Road Dogg.
Road Dogg and Goldust. That's six.
I think it was Goldust. Yeah, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think as well. But, I mean, so that's 26,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that just – you know, here's
so at least 24 spots. Yeah, that's pretty shitty.
Here's an idea that I was sort of bantying around and just – I don't know when you could do it or if you could do it, if it's even possible to do. But something that I was kind of nostalgically jonesing for that I think could still be good – because, and they're both under contract, I guess. But at some point, I think in the next year, I would like to see Rey Mysterio fight Dean Malenko again.
Interesting.
Just thinking that the other day, I was like, Dean Malenko's still under contract. I think I was watching an old Nitro is what it was.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know what? I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I just thought, you know, like you couldn't do it at Mania, then if they're doing the Sin Cara, and I mean, it wouldn't be a Mania thing anyway, but I just thought, you know, like in the next, like by SummerSlam kind of thing, it would just be like somewhere in that summer, you know, Over the Limit or whatever the fuck they call that pay-per-view. I'm like, you know, I'd just like to see it there.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying. I mean, you know, it would be interesting. I mean, I don't know enough about what kind of shape Malenko's in or anything like that. But, I mean, he was surprisingly athletic, but then again, he was the type of worker where his athleticism, he could still have a great match despite it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. How about some of those other guys that Ray worked with back then, like Eddie and – oh, wait.
Oh, right. Well, there's Benoit.
Okay.
Oh, wait. But, no, I mean, I was watching, I don't know what it was. Oh, I was watching a couple of clips, and it was just hilarious because it was like, the first one was Bam Bam Bigelow when he debuted on Nitro and he ran out and he called out Goldberg.
Oh, yeah?
And he interrupted a match, and it was like, I think it was Dean Malenko and Scott Putski. And it was Chavo Guerrero and Scott Putski.
Oh, yeah.
And then I watched some other thing. Oh, it was the debut of the Wolfpack. Like, totally, like, randomly different. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just, then later. And it was, I think that was a match between Dean Malenko and Scott Putski. I hate Scott Putski so much. I just don't want him to finish a match.
Well, considering he sucked. Yeah, that's interesting. All right.
But no, I just, yeah. Dean Malenko was the guy that I thought that.
We could do that. I'd like to see that. I don't know if I'd pay for it, but if they built it up right and put it on television in a nice spot, I'd be into it.
Well, and even if they put it on pay-per-view in a nice spot, I mean, it's not going to drive anything. But again, this goes back to pay-per-view. Like, it's kind of like Ricky Steamboat and Chris Jericho, right? That's not your main event, but you know, you still want to see it because it's Ricky Steamboat and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Not that Dean Malenko was Ricky Steamboat, but still.
Yeah. No. Well, he was once PWI top 500, number one.
This is true. He probably has that plaque.
I'm sure he fucking does.
Yes.
I don't know how much of a mark he is for himself, but if he is, that's his highest accomplishment.
Well, I was going to say that's probably... Well, no, I think the WCW Cruiserweight title is probably
the highest. He was Cruiserweight, he was TV, and he was also US title. And tag
that's
title.
True.
He had everything. I think he had everything but the world title.
I was going to say.
I'm
I
not
think
sure, actually. Was he ever TV champion? I'm sure he was, but.
That's one I don't think. I don't think he ever got the TV.
Maybe not. I know he had the tag title, and I know he had the U.S. belt, so.
Him and Benoit were the tag champions against the West Texas Rednecks, right? They had that tournament.
That's right.
That was the Barry Windham, yeah. And that was a good little feud there, too.
There you go. There you go. Back when WCW was shit, but they, at least they gave us that. Okay, man. I am Mo. M-O at We Talk Podcast. Mo underscore We Talk. Once again, thanks to Freaks TV Channel E for the new logo. It's absolutely freaking awesome. And we're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. And there was something I want. People want to send Addy some email, right?
Something
they wanted to. There's something we wanted to ask them to email us about, but I don't remember what it is. Something we brought up earlier in the show, or we were going to say. If Addy offended you this show, it's ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Right.
That's ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. So if you have anything you want to say.
If I offended you, send me an email.
Yes.
Unless you're Mexican.
So, Kelly, if we offended you.
No. Here's the thing, though. Email, so I'm fine.
That's true. All right, I think we're done.
Oh, I know we're done.
Absolutely, we're OUT. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's going to do it for yet another wacky episode. We got you said you got a blog going to kind of go up on good old JR in the coming week. Some point next week, probably later in the week, I will have a TNA Turning Point, Addy's TNA Turning Point preview as well, because that's actually next weekend.
Yeah. I look for my next blog after JR to be something on Ryback.
The Ryback.
Ryback Acme.
Wow. Ryback Acme. Well, yeah. So, well, good. Well, that'll be fun, won't it?
Yes. So, yes, it will.
That's going to do it for yet another edition. So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Puppies!
Kelly is a whore.
What holiday? No, that should never be with me. And I'm sorry that I missed your birthday. I tried to send you a card. Holiday, just another day. And I know that you'd rather be with me, but I just can't be with you wherever you are, because I'm gonna be on TV. On the 4th of July, I think of you when the fireworks go off in the sky, and I'll think about you on the Christmas holiday, but you should be with your family anyway, so I'm sorry if I sound so angry, but I'm really not, because it's just a holiday. But I'm here with Howard, and it's my big chance, and finally I might be on the radio, and I might be on TV, and I know you'd be proud of me, and you'd like to be here, because it's kind of a holiday.
Your purple dress.
Hey. I put on my dancing shoes.
You made me cry.
Thank you.
Restless, restless.
Still on a tune, though. Yeah. It happens all the time.
It happens all the time. Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, watch on it. Well, there you go.